You know, there's this moment in Luke 15 that I think we gloss over because we know the story of the prodigal son so well. The boy has hit rock bottom, right? He's sitting in a pigsty, starving. And he spends his entire journey home rehearsing this perfect speech. He's going to say, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Make me like one of your hired servants." It's a deal. He's trying to negotiate his way back into the house by offering to work off his debt.
Yes, it's a transaction. He's basically saying, "Let me pay you back for what I ruined."
Exactly. But here's the thing. When he actually gets there, the father doesn't let him finish the speech. Before the boy can even get to the part about being a hired servant, the father interrupts him. He calls for the best robe, the ring, the sandals. He orders the fattened calf. The apology isn't even finished, and the father has already restored him. Grace arrived as a total gift, completely cutting off the boy's attempt to negotiate.
That is so incredibly hard for us to accept, isn't it? It reminds me of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast." It means the one thing we desperately want to earn, our worth, our acceptance, is the very thing God refuses to sell us.
That's a hard pill for our pride to swallow. Because if we can't earn it, we can't control it. And if we can't control it, we feel vulnerable. I mean, let's be honest. Pride and shame are really just two sides of the same coin here. Pride says, "I don't need a handout. I can pay my own way." And shame says, "I'm too damaged to ever receive something this good." Both of them make us look at grace with deep suspicion.
Oh, absolutely. I remember a few years ago, I made this really clumsy mistake on a project for our ministry team, and I felt so awful about it. And when my director sat me down, instead of reprimanding me, he just said, "Ruth, it's okay. We all make mistakes. Let's just fix it and move on." James, I couldn't let it go. For the next 3 weeks, I was arriving an hour early, staying late, doing all these extra tasks I wasn't even asked to do. I was exhausting myself trying to, you know, make up for that one mistake. He had already forgiven me, but I was still trying to pay the fine.
You wanted to balance the ledger.
Exactly. It's exhausting living like that, trying to be your own savior, but actually letting that forgiveness land. That took a real quietening of my own ego.
So, if we translate this into normal, everyday life, what does grace actually look like on, say, a rainy Tuesday afternoon? If the father in Luke 15 restores his son before he can prove himself, then grace isn't about ignoring the wrong. It's about choosing mercy and restoration before the other person has earned their way back into our good graces.
Right. It's not a performance review. It's the decision not to keep score. I mean, think about the exhausted evening commute, or when you walk through the door and get a sharp, snappy reply from your spouse, or a coworker who completely misreads your tone in an email. The natural human response is to hold back our warmth until they apologize properly, right? We want them to sweat a little first.
Oh, we love a good groveling apology. It feeds that quiet satisfaction of being the one who was right. But Ephesians 2 tells us that grace removes all boasting. If we are living by grace, we have to lay down that scorecard. We have to drop the requirement that people must get everything right before we offer them kindness.
Yes, and that is a daily, sometimes hourly practice. It's so practical. This week, when you feel that rising tide of irritation, maybe in traffic or when a family member leaves their dishes in the sink again, just pause. Take one breath before you react and ask yourself, what would mercy sound like in this exact moment? It might just be a softer tone or choosing not to bring up that past mistake again. It's small, but it's where grace becomes real.
What would mercy sound like? I love that, Ruth. Let's carry that question with us this week. Thanks for chatting, everyone. We'll talk soon.